Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers, he is calling me Dude!
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, welcome to the Dudes on Hockey podcast. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
How you doing, dude? You seem a little winded.
Yeah, well, I had a hockey game today, so I'm back. I'm ready.
Is that what that mark is across your forehead right now?
Probably from the helmet.
From your helmet? Shouldn't you get a bigger helmet?
Nah, you want it to be kind of snug so, you know, it actually protects the head. If it just rattles around like the old Wayne Gretzky 1980s days, just the brain bucket thing, doesn't really protect that.
Doesn't do any good. So I guess that's what Joe Pavelski should be thanking his lucky stars for right now in this moment.
Right.
After getting blasted in the cabeza today.
That would just suck.
There were about two oh my god moments during that game today, and one when Colin White got hurt, because I was sort of like,
oh, that's tough.
But seeing Vlasic and Pavelski go down with, you know, apparent injuries to their head and face, it's pretty startling. But we may as well talk about that right now since we're into it. It appears that, well, obviously, Pavs was able to come back. Mm-hmm. I couldn't believe he came back. Actually, I thought they were just going to hold him out. He did all the concussion tests. He passed, and he was back out there. We'll see how he's doing in a day or two.
Right.
Because we know, you know, we've seen guys play on through concussions initially, pass those tests, and then down the road not do so well. I mean, obviously, we have nothing to base this on, and I certainly don't think this is going to be the case, but I want to see him play Tuesday before we feel fantastic.
Sure.
About Joe Pavelski, and then Vlasic did not go to the hospital and is traveling with the team, so he might have broke his nose, though, or something like that.
But that doesn't stop anybody from playing these days either.
Right, but that was pretty nasty.
Oh, yeah.
Nasty business there. So the Sharks are the teal wounded right now, with Murray out with a fractured Adam's apple. I don't think I've ever heard of that before.
I've never heard of that either. That's just gross. and especially to think that he sort of said, oh, at any moment it could kind of swell off and cut off my windpipe. That would be unfortunate. That would be unfortunate.
Yeah. I don't know. They're being fairly mum on his status right now. I've got a guess, too, that he's not going to be out just a couple games. You know, I think he's going to be out a couple weeks, right?
I have no idea. I've never even heard of that injury before.
But if it could get re-agitated, like he takes an elbow to the throat or gets nudged the wrong way or maybe eats too large of a kernel of Cracker Jack or something, and then it swells up and then he's choking to death on the ice and Bertuzzi's trying to give him the Heimlich. And
right. That would be just a strange.
It'd be so odd and bizarre. Dude, I don't know. I'm feeling a little nervous about how things are going right now. The Sharks on this road trip are 1-3-1 in the first five.
I'm feeling more than just nervous. The fact that they can't beat Tampa Bay after having the lead at least twice, and they can't beat Carolina. You got to win those games. You have to win those games on the road. I know that it's a road trip and all this stuff, but Tampa Bay's bad. You look at all those goals. I watched the highlights again today from the Tampa Bay game. It's like all the San Jose goals, it's like bad D. It's bad. Tampa Bay's
bad goaltending too, and that was the game where
that's why the Sharks lost. But I mean, Tampa Bay's D is bad.
Oh yeah.
Like there was tons of really awesome chances for the Sharks and they put in like lots of goals that should have been goals. And the fact that they can't beat a team like that, they can't keep the puck out of their net when they face a team like that, that makes me really nervous. It's not like Dwayne Rolison was awesome. I mean, he still gave up five goals and the Sharks couldn't win.
Right.
And at least three of those goals were really pretty terrible on Niemi. So, yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate. You know, it's his fault. I mean, there's the mini controversy about how McClellan said he has to be better, which
he does.
It's true.
He's given up 11 goals in three games on this road trip, you know, and he was not the reason why the Sharks lost today, but he wasn't great today either.
No, he wasn't great.
He was fine. I wouldn't be stunned if
I thought the first goal was a bad goal. I thought that Zetterberg backhand shot.
Yeah.
I thought Niemi should have had that. It wasn't tipped. He had a look at it. It was a 15 or 20 foot shot on the backhand that you have to make that first save. That's just my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like that goal at all. I didn't think really the other goals were particularly his fault, but the first one really did stick with me as one that I thought he should have had.
The loss today on its own, with everything else removed, doesn't bother me that
right.
much.
I feel the same
I thought
way.
They played hard, and Detroit is at the top of their game,
mm-hmm.
and we were in it. You know, they were down 2-0. They fought back. We were in the conversation, you know, mm-hmm. up until the end, and somehow the Sharks always managed to make these borderline NHL goaltenders look like world beaters, you
right.
know, how we've seen Curtis Sanford and Joey McDonald and Justin Peters, you know,
yeah.
be amazing. You know, what's up with that, dude? Is that the Sharks' true issue and why we're hearing about them needing to get another top six forward, is that these guys, while they're good, like, they just can't score consistently? Or is it just really awful, terrible luck?
I don't know if it's really either of those. I don't think their scoring is particularly great, but I don't think it's terrible either. I don't think they're not in Kings territory. I mean, the Kings can't score to save their lives. I mean,
right.
they score one goal, they're like, woohoo, high fives everybody. They personally high five everybody in the arena when they score. I wish they would, but it is interesting. I almost want to do a study about how often the Sharks face the backup goaltender compared to other teams, because it seems every single time we play other teams, it's like Joey McDonald, Justin Peters, all these guys. It's like, is Dwayne Rollison?
Yeah, he's the backup now.
He's the backup too. I mean, we've faced more backups than ever.
Holtby in Washington.
Yeah,
their third string goalie.
Yeah, some guy I never
heard
of.
That was because of injury or illness to Vokoun. But you know, who's going to play for Columbus? Their local, you know, AAA.
Seriously.
Oh my gosh,
it's gonna be Dan Cloutier. They're going to bring him out of retirement.
Dan Cloutier, awesome dude. A frustrating trip so far. The St. Louis loss, you know, I mean, if you're going to give a very good team 2 5-on-3 opportunities, you're going to lose.
Yeah, that's what happens.
You're going to lose. You know, that's terrible. You mm-hmm. know, you can't do that.
And there's no better team than St. Louis to lock it all down
yeah.
right now when you got the lead, and that's what they can do.
So but even that aside, that loss also, it didn't bother me that much. The loss to Tampa Bay coming off their win in Washington really bugged me.
Mm-hmm.
Especially after the win in Washington, it's on national television. Everyone's talking about how, the Sharks are so good. Look at them. It's a clinic they're putting on tonight.
Right.
They've completely neutralized the Capitals and shut them down. This is how dangerous, you know, you're listening to, you know, Pierre Maguire, you know, in between.
Right.
This is amazing. You know, the Sharks are like a clinic. And
Justin Braun is a beast.
You're here, you're having all this, you know, smoke blown up your keister
right.
about how great the Sharks are, and even you're reading it on ESPN, the Sharks just completely dominated, and then they go to Tampa and, you know, plop a Tootsie Roll.
Yeah, it just sucks.
It's
and then they lose to Carolina.
That was worse. Because Carolina is bad. I mean, they are also bad.
Right.
And you saw how bad they were when they coughed it up in 3 minutes, right?
Right, yeah.
They just cough it up. They've got so many young players on that team, and they're AHL goalies playing.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't beat them?
I know.
You can't beat
them?
You
have to get those points when you have the opportunity, because you know it's going to be hard to beat Detroit there. I mean, there's tough games on this road trip. You're not just, and it's a really long road trip. You have to gather the points where you can. And the Sharks completely just lost two huge opportunities. They just did not take advantage of beating two teams that they should beat 8 times out of 10.
Totally agreed, dude. Well,
that is a very frustrating happenstance,
dude. I think the next bit of news is that the Sharks did make a trade.
Right.
They made a trade moments before, in dramatic fashion, as the video clips show Yzerman and Doug Wilson, you know, talking in the stands before,
right.
like a scene out of Moneyball.
yeah, seriously. You know?
And then the trade is consummated. Dominic Moore, a third line center forward coming to San Jose with a 7th round pick in return for the Sharks, or actually the Minnesota Wild's second round pick next year in the draft. Dude, your initial reaction and now your reaction having watched Dominic Moore play in two games.
So before I was like, meh. And then now I'm like, meh.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. That's my reaction.
Why meh?
I don't think then, and I don't think now, that Dominic Moore was the kind of player that we really needed. He's an undersized, penalty-killing guy. He's a decent penalty killer. That's great. I understand that maybe they want to shore that up, although he's not playing on the kill yet, of course. He's got to learn the system and all that kind of stuff. I've never been particularly impressed by Dominic Moore as a player. You know, clearly, I think I'm in the minority. It seems like most analysts and talking heads seem to think that this was a good move by the Sharks. And you hear Darren Pang and all these other people saying, yeah, the Sharks really, you know, they got a little bit deeper by getting Dominic Moore. Okay, they got deeper, but I don't really see this guy as a guy that's a impact player, really. I mean, he's a guy that, yeah, I mean, would you take him or just like some random AHL player on the fourth line? Of course you take Dominic Moore, but is he the answer to the Sharks' third line problem? I don't think he is.
Yeah, even after seeing him play against Carolina, where he basically was everywhere. I mean, that was like the Dominic Moore show. He was in on both those goals.
Yeah.
You know, I was impressed by him against Carolina, and then today you didn't really notice him as much,
right,
against Detroit. The thing that strikes me as confusing about this trade is, I agree also, while this does add depth, I don't think this is the type of player the Sharks needed. In theory, we already have this guy, and his name's Torrey Mitchell.
Right.
Now, this is probably an indictment as to how Doug Wilson feels about Torrey Mitchell right now,
mm-hmm,
which might mean Torrey Mitchell might not be on this team in a week.
Right.
It's possible. You know, that's a duplicate part, dude. It's a duplicate part. You don't need... And is Dominic Moore right now better than Torrey Mitchell? Yeah.
Yeah,
he is. Mm-hmm. You know, Torrey Mitchell, you notice him maybe a couple times a game. Dominic Moore had moments against Carolina where he completely, you know, transformed that third line into a very effective, if not the best line in stretches, you know? Right now, he's a better player. Penalty killing, yes. Physicality, you know, as much as he can bring for his size, you know,
right,
He's pesky, but he's not going to transform.
He's not Rafi Torres.
No, and he's not Gostad, and he's not Travis Bone, and he's not a huge body that's going to match, you know, some of the bigger bodies on a team that lacks physical play. In a series, you know, when you're going to go against Vancouver, you know, where, you know, they're very physical,
mm-hmm,
and we haven't done really anything to combat that. The thing I also thought was pretty hilarious, ironically, and kind of sad was, you know, as soon as they make the Dominic Moore trade, all of a sudden Tommy Wingles becomes a legit NHL player. Like, have you noticed that in the last three games?
Yeah, he's on the top line now.
But he deserves to be. Like, he's everywhere, too. Like, he's really playing well.
We've seen that from Tommy Wingles before.
Not like this.
And then next week, we're going to completely forget about it.
Sure. And that's probably the likely scenario. But I did think it was funny that all of a sudden, you know, you're bringing in this new player, someone's roster spot's on the line, and Tommy Wingles is like, like, playing great.
He's like mine, yeah.
You're not going to put me on the bench.
Yeah.
And it's very confusing about what's happening now. So now Hanzus is playing on the wing.
Yeah, I don't understand. He's a center.
Or he was centering the fourth line. Like,
I like Hanzus as a... I think he's a better player than Dominic Moore. Why is Dominic Moore taking his spot? I don't really get that.
Yeah, and they're probably just trying to figure it out right now, dude. I mean, who knows exactly where this is going to shake out. But it does seem like a few too many pieces that are the same, mm-hmm, you know, right now. Instead of adding that impact third line forward that I still don't think we have. This wasn't the answer we wanted.
No, it wasn't. But we're not running the team.
No.
Probably a good thing.
Clearly. And it was a steep price. In the moment, well, although Dominic Moore's been traded several times.
Yes.
And that's the other thing that's a little disconcerting about Dominic Moore. I mean, this is, what, his eighth or ninth NHL team, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a guy who was waived. mm-hmm. In the last couple of years, and he plays on teams and no one wants to keep him. Like no one, if he's like that great, like,
right.
How come he's on a new team every year?
Yeah. That's a warning sign.
It's not like he's making a lot of money. I mean, he's not.
Right. If he was really a good blue collar guy, you would see him stick for a long time. Like you see some of these other guys just sort of stick around on one team because the team realizes that this is a valuable piece. And it seems like Dominic Moore is not really seen as a valuable piece.
He seems to be the guy that in the moment you go, oh, this is not a bad NHL player. And I'm not saying he's a bad player. I don't think you are either. You know, he's a solid third line player. He just kind of doesn't fit exactly what I think we wanted for this team. And we'll see how this plays out. You know, is this the last move, dude? Or is there more to come?
Right.
That's a high price. Second round picks. The third time he's been traded for a second, by the way.
I know. That's funny.
So it's not like it's the going rate, right?
Yeah, clearly.
You see the other trades that happened this week.
The Hal Gill trade.
The Hal Gill trade for their seventh rated prospect in Blake Jeffrion, which is a homecoming for him in a way because of his family history with the Montreal Canadiens. They get an ECHL player in Slaney that, you know, or I don't even know his name. It's irrelevant. I mean, the guy's not going to play in the NHL. Watchy is going to be a 50 goal scorer. And then a first, right? Did they get a first?
I don't think they got a first. I think they got a second.
Or a third. Then they got a pick for Hal Gill.
Right.
You know,
seemed like an awful lot. Blake Jeffrion is pretty good. He's a pretty good player. He was the best player on a team that made it to the national title game in the NCAA tournament. He had 50 goals, or not 50 goals. He had 50 points in 40 games in his last year in college. He was the best player on Wisconsin or whatever, you know, a powerhouse NCAA hockey team. And yeah, I mean, he's like 24. He's had a couple years of NHL experience sort of in and out, but you certainly can't say you know what you're going to get out of Blake Jeffrion. I mean, he could turn into a pretty good player. So, you know, he's a good player and a pretty high pick for Hal Gill. I thought, Montreal did pretty well, actually.
They did. It was a good... Oh, let's see. Predators, it was a second. Yeah. And they traded Hal Gill in the fifth. So, pretty good return. You see Grossman going from Dallas to the Flyers for a second and a third. I thought that was...
A lot.
A lot for a guy who was really a third-pairing defenseman. I mean... No, if that's Grossman's value, then...
If you asked me to name Dallas's defenseman, I wouldn't get to Nicholas Grossman very quickly.
No, he's the number five or six on any team.
Right.
Not a player that doesn't have value, but that's a lot. And then you see they turn around and give up more picks to get Pavel Kabina. So,
oh God,
they traded for four cement blocks with legs, basically in the last 48 hours.
Kabina trade was so ill advised. That's a grasping at straws trade. I remember 3 years ago, Pavel Kabina was thought to be the savior of everyone at the trade deadline, and then he actually moved somewhere and did nothing.
Right,
he was Thomas Cabrera 3 years ago.
Right.
Right. And now he's 3 years older and the Flyers think he's going to come in and make some sort of impact. I just don't see it.
Yeah. He was considerably cheaper than Grossman, you know?
Right.
So you've got those deals going on, but you can still see that the market is fairly high. So you can imagine what the price is for a player like Rick Nash.
Oh God.
Which is what, you know, everyone's talking about. Dude, I know we got some emails and I think one of them has to do with Rick Nash, dude. I have it right here.
Okay, go ahead, dude.
This is from Patrick. Oh, I see you've got it too. Go ahead, dude.
Okay, so got a crazy trade here. Word on the street is the Jackets were considering trading Rick Nash. I was wondering what the price would be to pick up a franchise player like Nash. I would be willing to part with players like Mitchell, Demers, Havlat. He says Mitchell again. I guess he really wants to get rid of Mitchell.
Mitchell twice.
Wingles, McCarthy, or Ferriero. Is there any chance the Sharks could package some of these guys up with a draft pick or prospect to get Nash and Teal? I'm not sure what type of pieces Columbus is looking for. It seems like they could improve in a lot of areas. I know that they're most likely going to want a talented center like Pavs or Loco in the deal, but that would be a heavy price to pay. Nash and Jumbo on the same line would be quite a handful. So, dude, I'm actually going to go and refer to your post on the blog on the subject, dude. You actually did write something, amazingly, about Rick Nash here. And I know that you consulted with me about what you think that the Jackets would actually want, and you came up with Pavelski, McGinn, Justin Braun, and their pick of Sexsmith, Sauteri, or Stalock, and we would get Rick Nash and Sammy Paulson. To me, that sounds right on. I know we got some other kudos from some other blogs, Fear the Fin and others, thought that that was a pretty good call. Patrick, I just don't think there's any way that Columbus would not take a second line player or better for Rick Nash. There is no way we're going to be able to package Havlat, who right now is a complete unknown in terms of injury. I don't even know if you can trade an injured player like that. Certainly not Ferriero, Wingles, McCarthy, Mitchell again, Mitchell a third time, Mitchell's brother, Larry Mitchell.
I love Larry Mitchell.
You're going to have, I mean, assuming that Scott Housen is not a complete idiot, he would want to get, and that's a big if, he would have to want to get a very good player and a very good prospect in return.
The word is that he's asking for a very good young player, two top prospects, and a first.
Yeah.
That's a huge, huge, huge price to pay. And so, you know, that was our take. You know, we didn't include the first because, you know, we feel, as I wrote on the blog, that a first for the Sharks is like, you know, you're talking a 25 plus mm-hmm. pick in the first round. I think they would rather take their stab at one of our young goalies than have that pick. I think that's the price that they would ask for, and I wouldn't pay it now, you know, not right. not mid-season. Now, if the Sharks lose in the first round of the playoffs again, mm-hmm. you know, again, well, that hasn't happened in a couple of years, but if they're out again and we're looking to remake the team again in the offseason, then... Like, maybe that's a deal you look at then. The other thing we're not taking into account is, I mean, Rick Nash makes a lot of coin, dude.
Yes.
So I think it's like a $7.8 million cap hit, Matt yeah. D'Agostini. Like, that is a huge, huge number. Huge number. So now all of a sudden you've got three forwards making $7 million.
Right.
That's nuts.
It just doesn't fit in the salary structure, I don't think. You know, Rick Nash has to be the highest paid player, and it can't be that close. You can't have... You know, Boyle's making almost seven. Joe's making seven. Patty's making 6.9 or something like that. You can't have four guys making that kind of money and expect to have a team that has some semblance of balance. I mean, you end up with, you know, a team that's just like totally heavyweight. You get to the third line and there's nobody left. I don't think Rick Nash, I mean, it would be great to see him in teal, of course, and you'd like to make a cap neutral deal for Rick Nash. It's just not possible. Mm-hmm. I just don't think it's possible. You're going to look for a team that's going to want, that's doesn't have all these high priced players that they want to play alongside him. Hopefully they're going to want to pair him with good young players that aren't making a lot of money quite yet.
So where does he end up, dude? What's your call? Or does nothing happen?
I have no idea. I don't have a very good feel for where Rick Nash could go because, again, I don't know what Scott Housen would legitimately want. I mean, of course, Toronto would make sense. I know Brian Burke traditionally is not a big fan of the Russian player. Mikhail Grabowski is a good Russian player for the Toronto Maple Leafs. To me, that would make sense. I could see Brian Burke wanting to get rid of Mikhail Grabowski.
He's unrestricted too, so he's got less value probably.
Right. But I mean, you know, you could do him and Luke Shen Luke Shen is a good player, but he's still unproven. Nash is definitely proven. So if you want to add some pop to the lineup, I could see the Toronto Maple Leafs being a pretty good trade partner for them, assuming it works out the way we think.
Someone on the blog, and I'm not sure who made the comment, said that they're fearful that he's going to end up in LA, and that is my fear too. I think Dean Lombardi right now if you're Dean Lombardi, now's the time to cash your chips. You've got Jonathan Bernier. He still has value. He matches up exactly with what they need.
Not a lot of value though.
Like he's one of the best young goalies who's not playing. You're looking at guys like him, Schneider, Tuukka Rask. I mean, those are the guys right now. Josh Harding is a little bit older probably.
Yeah.
You know, those guys, you know, Bernier would instantly make the Blue Jackets better.
So, but who's the player that LA would have to give up?
Well, they're talking about that it would be Jack Johnson. And that's another player. If you're LA, you go, God, Jack Johnson, is he really an awesome defenseman? He's a top four NHL defenseman, but it's not like you're giving up Drew Doughty.
Yeah.
So if you're LA and it's Bernier and Jack Johnson and a first and maybe some other prospect that isn't here yet.
Yeah.
I guess you're them, you do it, right?
I'm just thinking if I had Rick Nash and I was offered Jack Johnson and Jonathan Bernier and a first round pick, if I would take it. No, I don't know if I would take it. That seems a little light to me.
Yeah, maybe it is, dude. And they're probably better served not doing anything right now. And just, if you're the owner of the Columbus Blue Jackets, how do you just tell Housen, you can't do anything except for get rid of expiring contracts and get picks and players in return? I don't want you trading any of our guys under contract because you're going to get canned in April, you know?
Yeah. But I think
you're going to let this guy determine the future of your team?
Yeah, I think that would be a mistake.
He's really already done an outstanding job. We have another email, dude.
Yeah, Joel Rosenberg emails and says, I just noticed that both Jamie McGinn and Devin Setoguchi have 12 goals and 9 assists. Who would have predicted that last year, dude?
No one, probably.
Jamie McGinn's grandmother, I'm going with.
Well, I mean, we've been talking about how inconsistent Devin Setoguchi is, and, you know, Doug Wilson strikes again, it appears. I mean, getting rid of a player who right now is not worth $3 million.
Yeah.
Not to say he won't live up to his potential. We're seeing what's happening now in Ottawa with Milan Mihalik is finally breaking through. He's a legitimate 30-goal scorer this season. You know, will Seto get there eventually? Maybe. But, you know, he drove us crazy as Sharks fans, and now it's the Wild's turn. We have another email here from Jason.
Okay.
Jason says, hey, dudes, I was listening to the Merrick versus Wyshynski podcast a few weeks ago, and they posted an interesting question that I'd like to hear your thoughts on, dude. So I'm going to ask you this question.
Okay.
Who is the most underrated player? Who's the most underrated, overrated player? And who's the most overrated, underrated player? Okay, so I can give you an example. We're not going to give his examples. I want to hear your answers. So the most underrated, overrated player. So first of all, think about guys who you think are considered to be overrated.
Mm-hmm. Wow, this is tough.
So, you know, guys who are on this list were like guys like FNAF.
Right.
Ovechkin was on this list.
Right.
Who do you think got a raw deal? Do you need to look at that list? I mean,
I wouldn't mind seeing it. No.
Well, you're going to have to stall.
All right, dude. Let's see.
Well, first of all, let's talk about the Sharks.
Okay.
Who do you think is the most... Let's just focus on the Sharks.
Okay.
The most overrated player on the Sharks. Like, people think he's so great, but like maybe he's not as great as everybody says.
You know... let's see who's really overrated on the Sharks right now. Lately I might have to go with Patrick Marleau. I mean, he had a goal, but I'm still, there used to be times where Patrick Marleau would just blow by people, and I have not seen that. He's still chipping in goals, and clearly he's still in the good graces of the coaching staff, but I'm not seeing some of the flash that I used to see from Patrick Marleau. So I'm not saying he's a bad player. I mean, I'm not saying I want to see him traded, but you hear people talk very admiringly about him, and I'm not sure that they're necessarily seeing what I'm seeing.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's my pick too. You know, the guy who he makes you crazy, but
right.
They had the stat today on the broadcast that of like players in the last like 3 years or something, he has the third most goals in the NHL.
I know.
Dude, this was the thing that they said on the broadcast today that I'm sorry, we have to put the question on hold.
Okay.
Have to discuss this. Did you hear the section where they were talking about the Sharks coaching search after they fired Ron Wilson?
Yeah.
Did you hear what they said?
They said they wanted Scotty Bowman.
They offered the job to Scotty Bowman, dude.
Yeah, I know.
And he said no.
Of course he said no.
I can't believe it. That's some balls from Ron Wilson. Can you imagine bringing Scotty Bowman out of retirement and putting him.
Why wouldn't you ask him?
Well, of course. You got to ask him. I know, but I love it. Yeah. I love that he swung that hard.
Yeah, he swung for the fences.
He swung that hard.
He's like, I'm going to dig up Toe Blake. Stalling behind the bench.
Quickly, here's the list of overrated players. Quickly. Phaneuf, Ovechkin, Gomez, Luongo, Heatley, Kovalchuk, LeCavalier, Bomeister, Kessler, Komisarek, Pronger, Iginla, Semin, Jokinen, Jovanovski, the most underrated of the overrated players.
Oh, dude, let's see here. I'm going to go... Oh, Jokinen. That makes me laugh. Who is the most... I'm actually going to go... man, this is tough. I might go with Ilya Kovalchuk because he got a lot of heat for... you know, that huge contract and that whole thing. And he's actually having a pretty awesome season. And, the guy is pretty unstoppable, like the few times I've seen him. And plus, he had that like Gordie Howe hat trick where he like knocked out Braden Schenn, which I think was pretty funny. So I might go with Ilya Kovalchuk. He's a guy that I think has sort of fallen a little bit off the radar. He, you know, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, he was always in the conversation of maybe one of the very best players in the NHL. You don't really hear him in that conversation anymore. It's all Crosby and Ovechkin and a lot of, you know, young players like Stamkos.
Right.
I think Ilya Kovalchuk is still very much up there in the top like 5 or 8 players in the NHL.
Underrated of the overrated players. Well,
I mean, not going to go with Scott Gomez.
No, I mean, of the top 5, I think it's hilarious that Phaneuf has got 20% of the vote. Is that guy just universally hated? I mean...
Yeah.
He must be.
Well, he does play for Toronto, so it's easy to hate him, right?
And Heatley, of course, is number 5. I mean, dude, as much as I hate him, I mean,
yeah.
Chris Pronger? I mean, really? I mean,
how could he be overrated?
I just don't consider him to be overrated at all. I mean, that guy, when he's healthy, he's a Stanley Cup machine. I mean, the guy is a machine. He's dominant defenseman. When he's healthy. I mean, that's ridiculous. You know, I can't believe that he's on that list. And I can't believe Ryan Kessler's on that list. I mean,
Ryan Kessler isn't overrated.
Give me a break.
That guy's awesome.
That guy, I would love to have him on the Sharks, and I dislike him immensely when he's on Vancouver, but like any other team in the NHL wouldn't want that guy. Like, you look at the list and you go, okay, yeah, no, you know what? I don't want Danny Heatley, and yeah. I wouldn't want Scott Gomez at all. And, you know, you'd have to burn my eye sockets before I'd want Ed Jovanovski like running around on his creaky old cobweb filled knees,
right.
You know, but you know, Kessler. Yeah, of course I want Kessler. And if he was healthy, I would want Chris Pronger.
Oh,
absolutely,
yeah.
I would want Chris Pronger.
So what's the other side, dude? Underrated players?
The most overrated, underrated players. God, I mean, and I don't have that list, dude. So we'll have to, I guess, put that one off, huh?
Yeah. I think I might have to do a little bit more research for next week.
Yeah.
Because I don't know who really qualifies as a overrated, underrated player. That's interesting.
Yeah, well, we'll have to take a look, dude.
All right, dude. I think we're getting to the end. Let's take a look at the schedule for next week. We got Columbus and Toronto and Nashville. Two of those games, I mean, we should beat the hell out of Columbus again, please. Can we? Thank you. Unless we run into Justin Peters. And I mean, Toronto is definitely no you know, tomato can anymore, and Nashville is always a pain in the ass. So I mean, I'd like to see the Sharks rebound. I'd like to see 3 wins this week. I think all 3 of those games are very winnable. There's a break in between, a day break between all 3 games. None of them are back-to-back. Of course, then there's going to be the Wild the following Sunday, a week from today. So, you know, I could, you know, see maybe, you know, getting only a point in one of those 2 games. I'd hope we could beat the Wild. But, you know, I want to see another... 5 points, 6 points this week, you know? I mean, I think the Sharks really got to pull it out because, as you noticed right before we started recording, the Sharks are 4 points out of not being in the playoffs right now.
Right.
Like they're dangerously close, and they need to sort of find some of this urgency or else they could be in a tough spot because you look at March. I mean, March is no picnic. I mean, we got St. Louis. We got the Oilers, who aren't very good, but the Stars are a pain. Phoenix is a pain. They're trying to make the playoffs.
Phoenix is red hot right now.
And then we got Nashville again and Detroit again. The Ducks are hot. We got to play the Kings and the Bruins. Coyotes two more times and the Ducks again in the start. I mean, there's hardly any easy games at all in March. I mean, you could hope they could beat up on Buffalo, but if you look at all the other teams, like none of those other teams are doing particularly bad. Maybe the Avs. But it's not, you know, and March is full of games. I mean, there's a ridiculous number of games in March.
Yeah, they've got, you know, 3-4 game weeks there the end of March. So it's coming, dude. Yeah. You know, the Sharks are, as usual, we call it the playoff lame stretch. Like, you know, where that playoff letter shows up and then they go on a terrible streak. You know, those of you who are season ticket holders, you got that playoff letter like about a week ago and then they start losing.
Right.
It's, you feel so confident giving your money over and then they're not like,
please
playing
charge
well.
Me 30% more for the first round.
Oh, God. It's this team, they make you crazy, dude. And we just got an email while we're sitting here.
Oh, yeah?
Asking... from Jerry, saying, in a recent podcast, you were quite confident the Sharks' chances against the Wings if they end up meeting in the playoffs after today. Do you still feel that way?
I do. Actually, I do feel that way. I mean, the Wings are super hot, but you know what? The Sharks have been super hot in March before with Brian Campbell, and then they lose in the first round. So the Wings are not immune to the same kinds of vagaries that inflict other teams in sports. The Wings are a classy franchise, and they've done it right. And they have some of the best players. You know, it was fun to see that one comment earlier, like, who are the best Russian players? And they said Kovalchuk and Datsyuk are 1A and B. And, like, then, you know, Ovechkin is, like, fourth. And you have to agree with that. I mean, Pavel Datsyuk is one of the three best players in the NHL. And he has been for so many years. And it's annoying. I just wish he would start sucking or
stop
something.
Being so good.
Would you stop being good already?
I gotta say, I still, you know, even though they lost today, I think in a series, I think we still can beat them. Like, right. I don't buy Ian White on the top pair.
Right.
I don't think they can beat us in a 7-game series, just given the recent history.
The only thing to me that the wild card that's different about the Wings this year, last year, would be goaltending.
Right.
The goaltending, it seems to be quite a bit better this season. And that's the only thing that would really make me reevaluate that position. You look at the forwards and D, they're as good as they've always been. But if there's a Craig Anderson performance and Jimmy Howard from the Red Wings, they could win against anybody, and they could actually run away with the series if he can just pull up a massive performance like that. So that scares me a little bit. But if he plays sort of normal, a normal Jimmy Howard performance, then I still like the Sharks in that spot.
So the next time we're going to record, dude, will be right before the trade deadline. Is that right?
Yeah.
Or should we put it off into a reaction to the trade deadline? Maybe we should do it after, huh?
Okay.
You know, we can record, I guess, after that. We could do it on Monday. We'll do it on Monday night, the 27th, if that works with your schedule.
I think that should work with my
Fantastic.
Schedule.
Fantastic. So we'll be back reacting to the trade deadline, and we'll see. I mean, I have to think that maybe we're done. I mean, I just think this maybe was the move. It was an expensive move.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's possible Torrey Mitchell might be out, but and if so, you know, you could probably get a second for him, and maybe you're just replacing the pick.
Maybe.
But I don't know, dude. I think that, you know, this might be the troops he wants to roll with, and let's hope the Sharks can get at least 6 points this week.
Yep. Go Sharks.
Later.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.